Can you imagine? What are you bringing God down to? An anthropomorphic conception. God is like a man. Then talking about plural. God said, this is Elohim, Im. The first chapter of Genesis, chapter, verse 3. Elohim in Hebrew, Elohim, the God. I said, you know, Elohim is a plural. Yes. My other brother says, yes, it's plural. There are two types of plurals in Hebrew and Arabic. He confirmed. And dual as well. Singular, plural, and dual. Singular, dual, and plural. Yes, Arabic as well as Hebrew. But in every Bible, there are 100 different versions. The word is Elohim, God's. I haven't seen a single Bible yet which says, God said, let there be light. It should be God's, not God. It's Elohim. Says, what is this Him? Ask the Jew, ask the Arab. But if it doesn't suit us, we ignore. Im is a plural of respect in Hebrew. In Arabic, we have two types of plurals, same like Hebrew. But Allah says in the Quran, Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. It is we who have sent down the revelation and it is for us to protect it. Ask any Muslim, the most simplest of us, how many gods are there? He says one. Then who is this us? Who is this we? Ask the Arab. No Arab in 1400 years has pointed a finger at the Muslims telling them that you are worshipping more than one God. When the Quran says, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, say he is Allah the one and only, then no Arab questions the Muslim to say, look, who is this we? Who is this us? Why don't you ask us? Why don't you ask your Arab brethren? Who is this we? Who are this us? He says, don't you know? You speak Arabic, Arabic is your language, you know we have two types of plurals, plural of numbers and plural of respect. This is plural of respect in our language. 1400 years, no Arab has questioned us. I would like Dr. Shorosh to question me. He said, look, there are supposed to be more than one God in the Quran. I'd like to hear that from him. I said, these are two types of plurals. Plural of respect, plural of numbers. This is Hebrew, this is Arabic. So Jesus ate, and his mother ate. And the Bible says, the Son of Man came, Son of Man again, Son of Man, Jesus, came eating and drinking. And they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber. This is Jesus, words of Jesus. That this is what the people are saying, that you are a gluttonous eater and a wine bibber. Matthew chapter 11 verse 19 and Luke chapter 7 verse 34. What then makes him God? His birth. He was born without a human father. So he must have a father. So his father is God. The Quran answers that very simply. Inna masala Isa indallahi kamasali Adama. The similitude of the example of Jesus in the sight of God is like that of Adam. خَلَقَهُ مِنْ تُرَابٍ. He created him from dust. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ كُنْ فَيَكُونَ. And he said, be, and he was. So if Jesus is God and the veritable Son of God because he had no earthly father, then Adam is a greater God because he had no father and no mother. Simple, basic common sense. Do you stand to reason? If Jesus had no father, that makes him God. Then Adam is a greater God, no father, no mother. But you said, you see, Adam was created from dust. And Jesus was born to a virgin. So, my brother, he already quoted Melchizedek. Yes, Melchizedek, the high priest of Salem. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 and 3. It says, for this Melchizedek, in the Bible, in your Bible, open it. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 1 and 3. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, Salam, Islam, Salam, priest of the Most High God, priest without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of day nor end of life. Who is that? It's God. The only one who is without beginning and end is God. Without father and mother is God. who lives eternally is God. But he was a high priest, and Abraham was giving tithes, taxes, religious taxes he was giving to this man, Melchizedek. No father, no mother. Jesus had a mother, no father. So Melchizedek is greater than him. Jesus had a beginning in the stable, and he had an apparent end. This man, no beginning, no end. Who is greater? Who is greater? Melchizedek. I said, why don't you worship him? He deserves to be worshipped as God Almighty, if at all. This high priest of Salem. No. I said, stand to reason. This man, Jesus, he cries to God. Supposed to be on the cross. Matthew chapter 27, verse 46. He says, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Who is he crying to? Himself, putting up an act, dramatizing himself, that he's dying now. He says, oh my God, why you let me down? If he is God, how can he let himself down? And again in Mark chapter 15, verse 34, say, who is he crying to? He's crying to Allah. Eli, Eli. Allah, Allah. Look. I'm asking the Jehovah's Witnesses. They have them among the Christians. You know, they go and harass people. Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm asking them, when Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, I'm asking, does that sound to you like Jehovah lama sabachthani? He says, no. He says, no. So I said, listen again. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. Does that sound to you like Abba? Abba lama sabachthani? Abba means father in Hebrew. No. Listen. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani in Hebrew, Allah, Allah, lama taraktani in Arabic. Sound similar? Yes. Then in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, you read about John the disciple. He saw a vision, and in the vision he heard the angels in heaven singing, Alleluia, 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 Alleluia. And when the Christian goes into ecstasy in my country, they shout, Alleluia, Alleluia. I'm asking, what is Alleluia?
Hibibure.
No, no. What is Alleluia? Ya is a vocative and exclamation in Arabic and Hebrew. We begin with an exclamation. Ya Akhi, O my brother. Ya Ummi, O my mother. Ya Allah, O Allah. The Westerner, he ends with an exclamation. He says, stop! S-U-P, stop! Exclamation mark. He says, fire! F-I-R-E, fire! Exclamation mark. That's the Westerner. That's his system. The genius of his language. So Alleluia is Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu, Ya Allahu. O Allah, you are the only being who deserves worship and praise. O Allah, He is Allah. Hu Allahu Alladhi La Ilaha Illahu. He is Allah besides whom there is no other God. Al-Malik, the King. Al-Quddus, the Holy One. As-Salam, the source of peace and perfection. He is God. Not a child born in the stable to a Jewish girl. What makes him God? I want somebody to tell me, say, look, this is what makes him, his birth? His miracles? He gave life back to Lazarus, we are told. Did he? No. He says, when before calling Lazarus out, you know, he says, oh my father. He looks up towards heaven. He says, my father, oh my father, I know that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. Always. Whatever I'm asking, you're giving it to me. You are doing the work. And I know that thou hearest me always, but because of the people that stood by, this superstitious, credulous people, they are going to say that I gave life to the dead. They will say that I am God. For that reason, I'm speaking to you loudly. Prior to that, he was groaning in the spirit. Groaning. Jesus wept. Groaning. What groaning? No, he was pouring out his heart to God. My friend Lazarus is dead. Oh my Lord, bring him back from the dead. And God Almighty assures him, go ahead and ask what you want and you get it. So now he's going to call Lazarus out. He said, oh my father, I know that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me always. But because of the people that stood by, I said it loudly, audibly, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And he says, he that is sent is not greater than the one that sent him. I can of my own self do nothing. The words ye hear are not mine. But the Father that sent me, he had given me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. Even as the Father that sent unto me, so I speak. There is not a single unequivocal statement in any version of the Bible where Jesus says, I'm God how where he says worship me. There is not a single explicit statement, an equivocal statement, a plain simple statement. There isn't. If there is, we Muslims would have no hesitation in accepting it. Simply because we know that Jesus Christ, as one of the mightiest messengers of God, he would never lie. The question being asked, either he was a liar, you know, generally the Christians, he must be a liar or a lunatic or God. Why should you make such propositions? Why cannot the man be a mighty messenger of God? Why should he be a liar or a lunatic? Again and again in Christian literature, evangelists, they say either he's a liar or an imposter. Is the opposite of liar, imposter? What is it? God, is the opposite of God imposter? Is the opposite of God lunatic? No. What is the antonym for God? Is there? How can you say this or that, this or that? Why can't he be what he claims to be, that he is the messenger of God? And as such, follow him. He is not of me who does not take his cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. If you follow me, you will get eternal life. Listen to him, you hearken to him, what he says, what he teaches. And that is salvation. If you don't do that, verily, verily, I say unto you, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There is no heaven for you unless you are better than the Jew. And you can't be better than the Jew by not keeping the laws and the commandments. Listen to him, follow him, and if you follow him, you can't help being a Muslim. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dida. Now what we're going to do at this point in time is for those, and I realize what a terrible trial it is of patience just to hold back when you really want to get behind one speaker or another, but I do want to thank you for that patience and for making this debate a debate, not a confrontation. What we'd like to offer you the chance of doing now is to have your own part in this. Now, it is impossible to offer to 5,500 people the right to participate in a debate by leaving your seat in any form. So what we're going to suggest is this. I'm going to be asking the two speakers in just a moment to speak for a maximum of 8 minutes each in rebuttal of each other's position. We are then going to take questions. And if there is a question you would like to ask, if you could phrase it as courteously as possible, and if you would write your question on a piece of paper and pass it to your left until it reaches the aisle. And if you are at the last seat, right next to the aisle, you'll collect the questions that come from your row, hold them in your hand, and stewards, when people have had a chance to do that, will you walk down the aisle and collect the questions. Then stewards, you are to bring those questions down to the rear, behind me here, right down to the rear, where you will be met by a box, or by someone holding a box who will collect the questions. They will then be brought in here and drawn impartially. We'll shuffle them up and...